Good morning, everybody. Oh, it's great to be here, speak to you again. We are doing a series on When Love Came Down. And obviously, this is all about Jesus coming down, which is what Christmas is all about, celebrating when God's Son came down to earth to be amongst us. Let's start with doing... reading out some words which should be very familiar to us about the Christmas story. All the children listening. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. So you might think that the birth of Jesus didn't go to plan. You might think that, you know, the baby came at the wrong time. It's like, well, this is a bit inconvenient. We're kind of in the middle of, in Bethlehem. This is in our kind of hometown. And it's remarkable to think, isn't it, that this is the saviour of the world, and yet there was no room for him at the guest house. He didn't kind of have a reservation for the very best room that they had available in Bethlehem. I always think about Quirinius, the governor of Syria. He is loving this, isn't he? He gets his name in the Bible and he gets it read out every Christmas, even though, you know, he's not really, that's all he's kind of famous for. This is my sermon in a nutshell, which is, there's nothing really wrong with nice packaging, but it's what's inside that really counts. And Jesus is the reason for the season. So now you know what the theme is for my sermon. We're going to sort of unpack that in a variety of different ways. Can I have Dave and Wendy up to join me at the front? Little round of applause. Morning, guys. I love you both very much. You're part of the leadership team. We're great. We spend lots of time together. So I've got them a present each. Okay. First of all, Dave. This one's for you.
Thank you.
Feel of that. It's good, isn't it? Wendy, you know, I love you just as much, so I've got you a similar present. That's in there. Can we have the microphone? So you're both very polite Christian people, so what you would say is...
Wow, thank you very much.
And...
amazing.
But yet what you're really thinking is
fantastic. Look at the size of it.
Do you want
actually
to describe it? Yeah,
it's very heavy. It's the biggest bag I've ever seen. It's fantastic. I'm just waiting to see what's inside.
That's it. Yeah, don't look yet. Yeah. And Wendy, what are you really thinking?
I'm not quite sure. I'm thinking about it. I'm a bit... Well, I'm a bit disappointed, if I'm honest.
Yeah, looks like you've got a bit of a raw deal there, doesn't it? Okay, so shall we have a look? Dave, do you want to see what you've got? You don't need a microphone, do you? That's just a little bit of extra.
Right, it's dinner. Carrots, anybody want some carrots?
Bag of carrots.
I can eat those. I can eat the top bits off those ones.
Some broccoli.
Potatoes, onions.
Okay. What do you think about the butterflies? What do you think about the gift?
Ecstatic, yes. I'm really
What do you really think?
Looking forward to peeling them all. Yeah, it's not quite what I was anticipating.
Yeah, was it a bit of a disappointment?
It's really heavy. I was expecting like Scalectric or something, you know.
No. Okay. Thank you. Wendy, do you want to have a look what you've got in your rather poorly packaged plastic bag? It doesn't. Is there actually anything in there?
There is.
It's a gift card.
Oh my goodness, that's a lot of money.
So are you happy?
Oh, wow, yes, very. feeling really good on that one.
Excellent. Thank you very much, guys. That was just an illustration. But yeah, the packaging isn't that important, is it? When we're getting presents at Christmas, it's nice if they're all nicely wrapped, big bow. It's nice if they're physically big, and nice if they're physically heavy. You think, oh, there's probably something good in there. But, you know, what's actually important is what the gift itself is. So Jesus didn't have the usual kind of packaging that you would expect from a person that was as important as Jesus was. They say he was God's son. He was going to be the king. He was going to rule the people. And the people were expecting him. If the Jewish people at the time, they knew their Bible, they knew their Old Testament, they knew they were expecting someone really, really important to show up. So they were expecting someone to be born into a rich family, someone to wear nice clothes and robes, to travel around in maybe a chariot with lots of horses pulling it, to have a crown, to have jewels, to come and, you know, be a physical warrior to battle the Romans and get them out the way. That's who they were expecting, but that isn't what they got. They got someone, say, born to a relatively poor family that arrived in Jerusalem on a donkey rather than on a fine horse. A person that grew up and learnt to be a carpenter. Nothing wrong with being a carpenter. I like the fact, I'm a creative person, I like to design things, like to make things. So I'm really pleased when I think, oh yeah, Jesus was like that. Jesus did that kind of job. And he wasn't a physical warrior either. You know, he didn't influence people with physical might. He influenced people with kindness and with wisdom. His disciples, you know, he didn't kind of get a load of sort of bodyguards to kind of, you know, dark glasses and suits and sort of stand around making sure that no one got too close to Jesus. His disciples were ordinary people that he taught his ways to. This was God's son, someone who deserved everything, and yet God took a different approach. Why? So he could walk amongst us, so that he could teach us. This verse here kind of sums up this kind of difference between what was expected and what we actually got. It's from the book of Mark. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And that ransom for many, giving his life as a ransom for many, is why we're really celebrating, because we know that this baby that was born at Christmas time grew up to give his life so that we could live. So this is Jesus, is God's gift to us. But not everyone recognizes the gift. Not everyone recognizes just how good Jesus is. Jesus said this when he was talking about the kingdom of heaven. He said that the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Children, can you imagine that? You walking through the fields one day and you look down and you think, ooh, something shiny on the floor there. You bend down on your knees and you have a little poke around. You're like, yeah, little bit of treasure there. Hang about, there's more here and more. And whoa, there's a big hole there and there's loads in it. So you go home and, I don't know, maybe you tell your parents what you found and you take them and you show them. And then you've got that confidence. You can go and sell all that you have. Normally, you'd be scared to do that. Oh, well, not doing that. That's really risky. But you've seen the treasure. You're confident. You know that this is a good deal. If you can buy this field, you'll get all of the treasure that is in the fields. This is a bucket I've taken from home. This is what I use to wash my car with. Just an ordinary bucket. Got the sponge in here as well. Any children want to come and have a look at my very ordinary bucket? Yeah? Do you want to come and have a look? What's in there? Sweeties! There's treasure in my bucket. Would you like to take one? And would you like to pass it around so that everyone gets a little bit of treasure? You can take that out. Pass it around the children first, but you can pass it around the adults as well. So yeah, another example of this kind of idea of packaging. You know, people kind of see this field, it's like, well, yeah, you know, field's nice. I guess you can kind of grow crops in it, so that's useful. But they don't see the true value of what's in there. The true value of what it is to know God. And that's our treasure that we have. This verse is from Isaiah. And this is describing what the gift is that we've got. And the amazing thing is that this was written several hundred years before Jesus was born. It says, "For us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." This is an excellent description of what we're looking forward to with the birth of Jesus. This is the person that this is the present that we've got to look forward to in Jesus. So, part two. Talking about gifts. Remember my sermon in a nutshell, when packaging is very nice, but it's what it's inside that counts. Do you remember I showed you that verse from Isaiah describing this person that was due to come? We then have this character called John the Baptist. That's him on the left there. Did you deliver treasure to the left? No. Do you want to go and do that while I'm talking? There's some treasure coming, guys. Disguised in an ordinary bucket, but there's some treasure coming for you. Just do the ones you haven't done already. He was describing it. John the Baptist, excellent description of him in the Bible. Bit of a weird man in all things considered. Living in the desert, eating bugs, dressed in sackcloth, not having a wash. Quite a character. But he was he was telling people to turn from what they were doing. He was telling people to follow God. He was baptizing people and saying, right, now you've died to your old self, you're coming back, you're being born again. And the people that were around, They liked that. They thought, yeah, this guy's got something here. But they got a bit confused. So they asked him, who are you? Are you the Messiah? They thought, well, is this it? Is this the guy that the people were talking about? Is this the one? Is this the Saviour? Say, strange, because although Jesus, say, wasn't quite as royal and, you know, dressed in nice clothes, he was a lot better looking than John the Baptist, I would suggest. John the Baptist, he says, no, I'm not the Messiah. And the people said to him, come on. People said to him, well, who are you then? What do you say about yourself? And he says this very famous verse. He said, I am the voice of the one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord. Which again is another Old Testament verse, which is describing what's to come. So actually, John the Baptist was kind of foretold as well, that there was going to be this voice in the wilderness, preparing people for Jesus. And he says, yeah, I'm not the Messiah. Among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me. I love this bit. The straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. And, you know, different gospels say it slightly differently. And I guess different Bible translations say it slightly differently. And I'm sure we could come up with our own sort of versions, modern versions of that. You know, it's like, I am so low down here compared to Jesus, which is so far up here. You know, don't worship me. Don't look up to me. Don't think that I'm special. You know, Jesus is coming, and you know, I'm not even worthy to untie his sandal straps. So the people were in danger of doing something really, really silly. It's a bit like this boy here. He's been given a present, and it's like the boy is saying, amazing! A gold box with gold ribbon, that's all what I've always wanted, fantastic! And, you know, his friends and family are like, well, aren't you going to open it then? Like, open it? No! Well, this box is amazing, it's got ribbons on it, and gold's my favourite colour, and no, I just want the box. Stupid, isn't it? It's what's inside that really counts. It's going to be something really great in there. It's going to be even better than the wrapping and the packaging that it comes in. Let's read, I'm going to read this to you from 1 John, talking about love. It says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Remember that the kind of the title of this series, When Love Came Down. God, love, Jesus, those, they are so linked together. And yet, you know, the world as a whole is pretty unanimously agreed that love is a good thing. There aren't many people that would disagree with that. Love, of course, comes in all different types and forms and different meanings. But people are generally happy. Yeah, we like that. That's good. But people, you know, people that aren't sort of Christians don't really grasp the fact that, well, if you love God, if you like love, then you know you need to love God, because God is love. They're the same thing. So it again, it's a bit like this boy with the parcel. You know, there are people out there in the world who think, yeah, fantastic, this love thing is brilliant. But really, you know, that's just, you know, the main thing is God, and the main thing is Jesus. They are so kind of linked together. And it's easy to fall into a bit of a trap at Christmas time, because we like the packaging of Christmas so much that we forget really what's in the middle, what's the centre, what's actually the present. So you can see what I've done, I've kind of linked this idea of the packaging. So the packaging of Christmas is all the things that are really fun to do, And they said there's nothing wrong with them. There's nothing wrong with nice packaging. But it's what's inside that really counts. So I've got a question for you. Richard, you ready with your microphone? I'm going to see if I can get some answers from you. What is the packaging of Christmas? And here I've got my sort of top 12 packagings of Christmas. If you're looking confused, I'm sure you'll get it once people have kind of given a few answers and we've got going. So who's got an idea for us?
Turkey.
Turkey, is that on there? Matt's doing the... Oh, there it is, yeah. Christmas dinner, turkey. Excellent. Nothing wrong with having good food at Christmas. Anyone else? And the children got some answers.
Presents.
What was that?
Presents.
Presents?
Presents.
Is presents there? Excellent. Yeah, presents.
And Charlie?
Family.
Say again?
Family.
Family. Well, do you know what? I didn't put that on there because Jesus, you know, is very keen on family. So I thought, well, is it packaging? I thought that was a little bit harsh to call it packaging, but you're absolutely right. Phoebe?
Penguins.
Penguins. I don't think I've got penguins on my list. But I haven't got reindeer either, actually, come to think of it. It's a good answer. I haven't got it on mine.
Drinks.
Yeah, yeah. I think we got drinks up there. Yeah. I've got the kind of adult version.
Christmas trees.
Do you know what? I've got. So we have the decorations. Yeah, I've got tinsel. I think on the screen. Yeah, that's sort of the same thing, isn't it?
Christmas pudding.
Yes. Excellent. Christmas cake, pudding, mince pies, all that kind of stuff. Keeping
sprouts.
Richard fit.
Sprouts.
I don't like sprouts, so no. They're not in my list. We've got Christmas dinner, which I guess includes sprouts.
Shopping.
Yes, Christmas shopping.
Christmas parties.
Yes, indeed.
Decorations.
Yeah, we think we had that. We I kind of summed that up with tinsel. But yeah, so all decorations and trees, etc. Yeah.
How about some snow?
Snow. Yeah, I mean, these are good answers. Like I say, these are just my 12 that I thought of. So no, I don't think I've got snow.
Isaac will give us this in English and Japanese.
Carols.
Carols. Did I have...
Joku.
I haven't got carols, but do you want to put the Christmas songs on? Yeah, I put Christmas pop songs. Because, again, I thought, well, carols, you know, carols are talking about Jesus coming. So they're kind of part of the present, really. You've got to go to Sheila next. Sheila's had her hand up for ages.
Christmas crackers and bad jokes.
Yeah, I think so. Christmas crackers. Oh, there you go. Christmas crackers and jokes. On the same wavelength. Yeah.
Nativity scene.
No, I don't think I've got that on there.
Christmas films.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. Yeah, Christmas TV and films. Yeah, Christmas specials, etc. Two left.
Chocolate.
No, I don't think I've got chocolate. No, I suppose, yeah, Christmas cake, puddings, mince pies, that kind of fills in with that. Got
the Queen's speech.
Oh, that, again, it's a good answer. It's a good one, but no.
That's his OBE gone.
Right, shall we say?
Games.
Oh, that's another good one, isn't it? I love a game at Christmas. Okay, well, last guesses, and then we will reveal what we're missing.
Panto. Oh.
No. Really good answer. We're thinking differently. All right, let's have a look what we're missing. What have I got here? Christmas jumpers. Nicely modelled by various people here. I feel left out. And Christmas cards, yeah. Thank you very much for helping me with my little game, my 12 packagings of Christmas. Like I say, it's easy to kind of get up, get sort of stuck into this idea that, you know, this is Christmas. Yeah, it is Christmas. Like I say, there's nothing wrong with doing any of those things. But they're just really the wrapping. They're just the packaging. We need to open that up and get to the gift inside, which is Jesus. Oh. There we are. Jesus, the reason for the season. Got another... Sorry, Richard. I know you just sat down. I got another question for the children. Where would you keep your treasure? If you had some treasure, and I guess, Izzy, for you, that's maybe Lapa and your Shopkins. Yeah. Where would you keep them? Would you keep them in sort of treasure chest, in a castle, in a clay jar, in an expensive handbag, under your bed, in a cave, in a safe, or at the end of the rainbow? What do you think?
In the cage.
What did you say?
She's saying in the safe.
In the safe. Why is that?
Because it has a lock to only you know how to open.
That's right.
It.
You can keep your little brother out of it, can't you? Yeah. All right. Any more? Or where do you keep it?
The chest.
In the chest. Why?
Because there can be keys on the chest that only the owner has.
Excellent. Yeah. Same sort of reason for security. I know there's children sort of dotted about as well, rather than just this area here.
A cave?
In a cave, why?
Because if it's a scary cave, everybody will be too afraid to go in it.
did we hear that? She said it's a scary place, so people aren't going to go in there and start rooting around. You're quite right. If you saw the chest, you'd be like, oh, there's probably something good in there, and you'd try and get into it, wouldn't you? But if it's in the cave, I suppose you wouldn't know it was there.
The pot.
In the pot, why is that?
Because it's least expected.
Least, I like your thinking, yeah. A plain, boring clay pot. Yeah, people are just going to walk by, aren't they? Not bother to have a look. Good answer. Any more?
A bed, because no one will think to look there.
And your bed. Yeah, good one. Okay, well. We've got lots of different options. And yeah, most of us are thinking about security, aren't we? It's our treasure. We want to keep it. It's mine. So I'm going to put it somewhere where it's safe, where no one else can get to it. That's kind of what we're all thinking, isn't it? We're doing it in different ways. But Jesus says this. He says that he is going to put his treasure in jars of clay. Not because it's the last place that you would look, although that is a good thinking, but to show that his all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. So this treasure that we're talking about is knowing God. Jesus put that inside of us. The kingdom of heaven is in us. That Jesus is in us. The Holy Spirit is in us. And we're like the jars of clay. You know, God has sculpted us. He's made us all individual. So we're all going to be all different shapes and sizes of clay pots. And, you know, some of us look a bit plain. Some of us look a little bit wonky, I guess. But Jesus put his treasure in us so that there can be no one's going to get confused. No one's going to get, oh yeah, Andy, he's the best, and I'm going to follow Andy, I'm going to worship Andy. No, because they look at me and they think, no, that's not quite right. It's the treasure inside. We need to point people to Jesus with his treasure. I remember that treasure is when Jesus came down. So remember, my sermon in a nutshell. There's nothing wrong with nice packaging, but it's what's inside that really counts. And that's what I want you all to remember at Christmas. Remember what's actually inside that fantastically packaged present is Jesus, the reason for the season. Okay, so I just lead us in a prayer. So, everyone, you ready? Yeah, Father, I just thank you for your amazing gift that you've given us. And even though that gift was 2,000 years ago, we're still celebrating, Lord. We're still grateful that you gave us that wonderful gift, your Son, the most precious thing that you had, you sent down to live amongst us. And not to kind of force us into anything, Lord. Not to, you know, be this mighty warrior who would sort of threaten us with what to do, but someone that came with kindness, came with love, came with compassion, came with the attitude to serve us, to show us the way, rather than to kind of put us in the way and kick us in the way. And yeah, well, Lord, we're amazed by your grace to us, Lord, to give us that amazing gift. So when we're spending time with our families, when we're opening our presents, when we're enjoying our Christmas dinner, when we're wearing our Christmas jumpers, when we're listening to our Christmas pop songs, and all of those things that are great to have, yeah, I just pray that we would be focusing on you, on the amazing gift that you've given us, Lord. Amen.